Welcome everyone to the Grace Hour, the daily program that takes a dive into the believer's life, the challenges that they face on a regular basis, and helps them to learn their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett. I'm here today with the magnificent Philippe Siragi.
Are you working on those adjectives every week or something?
I am just, whatever comes to my mind that day, that's what you are. And today you're magnificent.
Wendy will reverse. I'll have to do the intro and I'll find some good adjectives for you.
I don't think we should do that. Let's just keep it this way. Hey, we're here in the studio.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk to you today about some false views or false ideas about the anointing. Our theme for the entire week is the anointing.
Yes.
So Pastor Justin Schaller, Pastor Dennis White yesterday, really kind of covered in depth what is the anointing.
Mm-hmm,
I have one quote from them I'm just going to read very quickly.
All right, you got it.
They said...
Here it is.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for handing me my paper. They define the anointing this way, and I think this is one definition. I think there's maybe a different one that we'll talk about a little bit later, but this is a really great start. They called it the manifestation of the Holy Spirit filling us in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Philippe, what do you think about that definition? What do you think about the anointing in general?
Yeah.
Where are we going today?
Okay. Well, for us to be able to identify the false ideas, I think we need to work on what it is, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's one way. We have the old image of, you know, back in the day when they, you know, when there were so many counterfeit bills, you know, and you like this, I'm sure.
I was excited about it. I was thinking about this.
Go ahead and give it to us.
No,
okay,
way.
I'll give it. Okay. So, well, you have always two ways to check something. Either, you know, you look at all the wrong ideas, you know, and sometimes in theology we need to do that. But same with the bills, right? I could look at bills and say, okay, there is 150 fake counterfeits by 150 different people doing fake counterfeits out there. I'm going to learn all of them so I can spot all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other philosophy is I can look at the real one, and whatever is not this is obviously a fake.
Yes.
So now, you know, it goes both ways. Like if I want to learn, I'm a bank teller, I want to know what's true, I'm going to learn this way. This is the true one. I'm going to smell it, listen to it, look at it through, look at all the features. But if I'm investigative, like I want to know who made this particular batch, and I'm used to know what kind of, you know, this guy knows for this ink, then I can trace investigations for that. But that's not what we're doing. We're not trying to target people and tell them how wrong they are. We're trying to say, what does the Bible say? So that's our hermeneutic background, right? So we're not trying to tell everybody, you guys are wrong. But now, if somebody comes up with the wrong gospel, we do want to address that.
We have to.
Because we have to. Paul dedicated full letters in discussing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Not to blame people, but to show them how dangerous it is to live outside the real gospel.
And how quickly we can fall away into that.
So easily. So the point here of me today pointing out what the false ideas of anointing are, as we'll discuss today, is just to say, guys, you know, there's a few ideas, because we'll talk about this in a moment. You know, we still want to define what we believe it is. But then when you have false ideas of anointing, you can feel guilty because you don't have the life that you think you should have.
Mm-hmm.
And there are movements out there that put the blame on you because you're in the hospital. If you had more faith, then you wouldn't be sick. And that is really...
The anointing would heal you.
Yes.
Hold on there,
buddy. Yeah, hold on for a second.
Take a chill pill.
I was going to make a play on word. That's sick.
There you go.
So... go back to what Pastor Dennis and Pastor Justin yesterday said. I like the idea of this manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our life. But prior to that, I think anointing is God's... when you look at the anointing in the Old Testament, which I think there is a show on that sometimes in the week.
Yeah.
They did it yesterday.
It's coming up.
It's coming up.
We're the second show of the week. This is Tuesday. All we've had is the special so far, and now it's us. Just to orient your magnificence.
Help you with my confusion today.
Yeah.
Anointing has been an act done by people in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Take some oil, putting on the forehead of someone to actually... stop them off in their ministry.
Yeah.
So kings were anointed, priests were anointed,
prophets
were anointed. Okay, so it was one way to mark a special act.
Mm-hmm.
So David was anointed when
First Samuel 16.
Yes, with 20 years before he actually became king.
Yeah.
So that's the main first mention / idea of what the anointing is.
Yeah.
You're called, I'm called, God anoints us. That means the Holy Spirit is with us,
yes,
and that's what it means.
Yeah.
Now, the idea of manifesting is a little a step further. Because if the Holy Spirit is fitting as you and I in our ministry, then that can be seen as well, like we are led. So I like the idea of both the start of the ministry, the calling, the seal of the calling, and then the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I like that. Yeah, very much.
Very cool. I have the first mention of the word anointing. It's in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 13. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Let's turn there. And this is actually not done to a person. I find this very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 31:13. I am the God of Bethel, where you anoint the pillar and where you vow a vow unto me. Now arise, get you out from this land and return unto the land of your kindred. This is God speaking. I am the God of Bethel, where you anoint the pillar, where you consecrate the pillar, where you set apart this pillar as a holy place or as holy ground. So that's the first definition we get when we look at the first mention.
Mm-hmm.
This is another hermeneutic principle.
Yes.
You are looking at the word all throughout the Bible, first mention, progressive mention, full mention. You're looking at it everywhere. So in the Old Testament, like you said, those are really great examples. You have all the different men and women being anointed with oil. And that word anoint literally means to smear on or to cover or to press on, right? And that's actually a really great picture for us when we look at this idea of the anointing in the New Testament, because we can think of the way it was used in the Old Testament, and we can look at Romans 15, and I think it's maybe 1 Corinthians, possibly chapter 10, or maybe maybe chapter 6, where it says, all of these things were written as an example for you. And we can look at it, and we can use it as a way to picture what's going on with something that we can't completely fathom or understand all by ourselves. So when we look at the New Testament and we read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse, I believe it's 21, it says this, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21, it says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. And so you think of what they did when they anointed someone, they smeared on the oil, and we think about the Holy Spirit being smeared on to the believer or the believer being indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit. The same way that if I were to apply oil to your face right now, do you know what that oil would do? Sure. It would seal the pores all over your face. And that's like the Holy Spirit covering us as believers. Whenever we believe, when we make that confession, we are all anointed with the Spirit. And who does the anointing? It says it's from God. It's of God. The other two mentions of this specific use of the word is 1 John 2:20 and 27, or maybe twice in verse 27. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit being in our lives.
Yeah.
And that's why, and they said this yesterday, and it's a really great point, and I think it's perfect for everyone to hear on a regular basis. You are anointed if you are a believer in Christ.
Yes.
Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. If you are a believer in Christ, you are anointed.
Yeah.
And that's where people will start to get off, and they'll start to say, well, this person has the anointing and you don't, and this person, you know, has this thing going on in your life, but you don't. And you can say, hey, biblically speaking, I am anointed of God because I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has anointed me with his presence.
Yeah.
He's been smeared on in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, do you think we're ready to go on the false views, or do you want to say something more about the anointing? Because I would like to maybe lay down a few principles in the hermeneutics to avoid, you know, slipping in a banana peel when it comes down to those topics.
Sure. All right. Let's lay down the principles.
Lay down the principles.
That's always a good thing to start with.
Yeah, and I think they are specific to those three. I don't know why you smile. Anyway, so I have three. You may have one. Number one is the basic idea in the hermeneutics. When you read a passage, it has one meaning.
Yes.
It has several applications, but one meaning. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've read sometimes people say, well, this passage has several meanings. No, it doesn't. It has as many applications as God wants you to obey in your life. Like, your situations are always different, and the Bible is always fresh to us. The idea of a rhema versus the logos, and the verse is an addition of the logos.
Mm-hmm.
The letters is here. We know the Bible says the letters kills, but the Spirit vivifies, right? Mm-hmm. Or gives life,
gives life
to the Word. And that's one thing that people get confused sometimes. So it has one meaning. Like, think about Peter or Paul when they write their letters. Do we think they are intentionally saying something, or would they hope that you will just get your own interpretation of whatever they write?
No.
Nobody does that.
Right.
If I text someone, I'm saying something, and I don't want that, oh, I took this figuratively. No, you didn't. because I asked you what time should we meet for lunch. Mm-hmm. So it's not figurative. So the point here is like
12:30 is a real time.
Yeah,
you better
is.
Be there.
Some
Otherwise,
people,
I'm not buying.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, people sometimes think time is relative, but not in that way.
Oh, boy.
So the first principle is many in the one meeting and many applications. We get that. Number two is we have what we call a principle is it's either God-centered, to put it this way, Christ-centered, God-centered, or man-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing, because sometimes we are so eager to obey the word of God that we are trying to lay standards or metrics by which we can evaluate our lives. And
yeah.
that it is a form of legalism in
Absolutely.
One way.
100%.
And I think with this anointing topic, as we'll discuss the problems, this is exactly what happened.
Yeah,
we need to remember that God speaks, God has the authority, the word has the authority, we don't. I cannot, you know, I think Pastor Shalley did a series years ago on legalism. Pastor Shalley, who is the pastor of our church, for those maybe who don't know who he is, but he did a series on Sundays on legalism versus grace. And mm-hmm. I think one way to summarize what he says is that grace puts God at the center of our lives, and legalism puts me at the center of my life.
Yeah.
Because now I'm evaluating my life and others based on metrics that I come up with,
mm-hmm.
And the problem with the false views of anointing, this is exactly what it does.
Yeah.
It's what we call an anthropocentric views.
Yes.
Man is at the center, and I'm going to look at your life and decide whether or not you have the anointing
yes.
based on many factors mm-hmm. which I came up with, mm-hmm. which are not biblical. So
yeah.
these are important principles.
Yeah, I agree. And just to say that maybe slightly differently, I was just thinking about the other day as there's a subjective way to look at the anointing,
mm-hmm.
and there's an objective way to look at the anointing.
Yes.
Subjectively, we are deciding what the anointing is.
Yes.
Objectively, we are letting the Word of God teach us what the anointing is. That comes from outside of us. The Word of God, the Logos, it was written, it was with God before time began. It was set, forever settled in heaven, and it's not changing one jot or one tittle, no matter what we say about it.
Yeah.
And it always has the opportunity to teach us
yeah.
whenever we're able to like empty ourselves and let our own thinking kind of like go away. It's really interesting. When you look at the word anointing in 1 John 2, verse 27, it actually talks about this. It says this in 1 John 2, 27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you,
mm-hmm.
and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and
yeah.
is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him."
Mm-hmm.
And this is talking about what the anointing even does in our
yes.
lives. Like people, this is like a common misunderstanding or maybe a false idea about the anointing, and we're just as guilty of this as any other ministry, but we'll say, "Oh, wow, that message was anointed," or, "Oh, wow, that song was anointed," or, "This thing was anointed," or, "That was anointed." And I think what you're not realizing is that you're misapplying the word anointing.
In a way,
we're misapplying the word anointing. What you're saying is that, "Wow, the Holy Spirit taught me something
yes.
in that message. Wow,
yes.
the Holy Spirit spoke something to me in my life during that song."
Yeah.
And whenever we just say, "Oh, it was anointed," we start to put this false idea, this false precipice on other people and on their abilities and on what they do and don't do. And we start to mix it up with this word gift in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to really just get things all kind of like conflated.
Yeah. I think in a way, like, okay, so if you use the word this way, then of course, like we're not making a big point out of
no.
it. Like there's some people say sometimes, "Oh, I got a revelation from God." Technically, if you're a theologian, you'll never use the word.
Right.
The word revelation is based on the fact that you have been used by God to write the Bible.
Yeah.
So that's not that you haven't been inspired either, because inspiration is the work of the Holy Spirit
right.
through the revelation.
Yes.
Now we technically theologian, but you know, it's illumination. It's one of the ministry, like our eyes have been enlightened
mm-hmm.
through the truth. So now we can see something we haven't seen before.
Yes.
So I understand when somebody say, "Well, he's been anointing," we do. And sometimes we feel, let's put it this way, a difference between a ministry, and then not just me personally, but the whole body of Christ,
yeah.
we have a special service.
Yeah.
And I think because God sometimes does revivals.
Yes.
And sometimes maybe I teach, you know, often, and I said, "Can I be teaching in my natural man?" Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can.
Yeah.
Because there are some topics I know really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I can come with content. And people say, "Well, yeah, well, it's very educational, but then where is the anointing? Maybe I did this in the flesh."
Yes.
So these are the reasons why sometimes we may be able to use the word anointing.
Mm-hmm.
That was anointing, that wasn't. in one way, but the main idea is not there is something special that flows on a moment. It's either I do something in the Holy Spirit, then it is anointed.
Yes.
And I don't do it in the Spirit, then it is not anointed.
Yeah.
Because it's not part of my calling.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. I'm doing what I do, what the Bible says, in the energy of the flesh.
Yes.
And we don't want that.
And we can look at Galatians 5 and we could go into that.
Yes.
We're not going to today, but I'm saying you can look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and you can look at the products of the flesh. And you can, you can like be your own judge. Not that we should be our own judges. Paul says, I judge not even my own self. It is a light thing that you would even judge me. But we can look at that and be like, okay, the Spirit was in that because like there was love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of these things, temperance. Or we can be like in the natural or the flesh or however you want to put it, and we can realize that it kind of came out dead.
Yeah.
And it kind of was without the life of God.
Yes.
It was without the Holy Spirit ministering to you as the person preaching or teaching or singing or doing whatever. And it was out the Holy Spirit ministering to the hearers as well.
Yeah.
And that's really all we're saying that the anointing is.
That's what it is.
That's kind of like plain and simple.
Yeah.
When we take it beyond that, when other ministries will talk about it and people will have like levels of anointing.
Yeah.
Or really, I just think of it as like, oh, I want to have a leg up on you, or I want to hold this person in a much higher regard than I hold you. And all I come back to over and over again as I think about any of these topics that start to steer you in that direction is God says over and over and over again in the Bible, I am not a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
Like how I treat this believer is how I'm going to treat you as a believer. You know why? Because I am the Lord and I do not change.
Yeah.
I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. Like, I am consistent, and I will be the same. My mercy endures forever for that person just as much as it endures forever for this person.
Yes.
And as soon as, like, we tap into that, like, that's the anointing.
Yeah.
For lack of a better
word. I like when you say something about trying to level somebody else. It's so interesting because, the word bishop is in the Bible, of course.
Yeah.
And then, but then it's a title that is
First Timothy 3.
Yes, it's a very cherished title by some movement that you would find, especially in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That because I used to go in Africa a lot, you know, like for when I was directing the Bible College in the South.
Yeah, you'd see all these signs,
Well, yeah, I used to direct a Bible College in Africa at the same time. I used to commute and travel there.
Wow.
And it was a French-speaking country, so they didn't have the need for the word bishop in English, but that's what they used, so the bishop. And then it was interesting because people were so in idea, like the false idea of anointing is come with a title, right? So you have levels. The pastor is the basic guy, and then you have pastor, teacher, and then you have, you have the reverend doctor. You have all kind of hierarchy people come up with in the culture. And the funniest thing, though, is like they didn't know what the word bishop means. So they used the word bishop in French.
Yeah.
So bishop such and such. So in English sounds okay, but in French it sounds weird. But then the guy wanted to be so above everybody else, he came up with a new title. Guess what it was?
High bishop?
No, trishop. Because he thought B was two and true was three. So, I mean, that's how ridiculous you can be sometimes when you just want to be bigger than everybody else. Like, what do you mean, like, trishop? Yeah, like, there's triple the anointing that the... So I asked the question, what do you mean? So you have a shop, and you have a bee shop, and you have a tree shop. I had a good time.
Wow.
Anyway. So.
Oh, man. People will reference the Old Testament. They'll reference 2 Kings, and they'll talk about Elisha asking Elijah for a double portion. And they'll say, see, look, there's a different level of anointing.
Yeah.
And that's not at all. You look at any commentary,
mm-mm,
that's not at all what Elisha is asking of Elijah.
No.
He's asking that he would have the same spirit that dwelt on him work in his life to manifest double the amount of miracles that he does.
Yeah.
You look at Moses, it's in the book of Numbers, maybe chapter 11. Moses, when God tells him, hey, I want you to anoint 70 other men.
Yeah.
There's the word. I want you to raise up 70 other men. Do you know what God does with those 70 other men? It says very specifically, I am going to take my spirit that I have on you, Moses, and I am going to cover all 70 of these other men.
Yes.
And they are going to operate with the same spirit that you have. It's not like Moses' spirit divided by 70 from the spirit of God. It's like God's spirit is way larger than anything that any of us could ever comprehend. And it is all consuming for all 70 of those men, as well as Moses at the same time, as well as Aaron when his rod buds, as well as anyone who is anointed to do the work. The Holy Spirit is all-encompassing.
Yeah, And it's like, how, if God is infinite.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so how can you define infinity?
Right.
You can't. So if you and I split half of the life of God, you have as much as I have because you're both infinite.
Yes.
And if we were to divide in 100, we have the same amount.
Same amount.
So
it doesn't ever get any smaller.
No, you can't.
No.
One thing you said about, you know, Elijah and Elisha, mm-hmm. you know, right? So when Elisha asked for double, it's, for me, the principle behind it is like, is it possible for me to ask for more? Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Is it a question of anointing? No, it's not, because Elijah, who maybe didn't think of asking for more, could he have?
He absolutely could
he
have.
Could have had more. Yeah. So I think, like, the prayer of Jabez, for example, though I don't really completely agree with the principle laid out in the book itself, you know, which interesting as a thought. It's not interesting as a lifestyle, per se. It's not because I ask something that I get it every time.
Right.
But what Jabez was very simple. It's like, I trust God. I'm going to ask him for more. And then you want me to serve you. And then please do this for me. Just like Samson, you know, I need more wisdom. He gave him. So Samson was not wise because he was wise. He was wise because he had faith in God.
Yes.
So that's the idea. Like, can I ask for it? Can someone, if Elijah had a disciple, you know, Elisha, a disciple after that, then the guy would have said, okay, I'm going to add double them. Yes,
I'm going to be the Trisha. I'm going to be the Trisha.
Good to be the Trisha.
Sorry.
I can be the Trisha.
All right, anyway.
Yeah, the point being is that the only thing it says is not he just gets, you can have a double anointing.
Right.
Like, you could have 10 times the amount of miracles in the life of Elisha if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Because I think when we ask for more, it's because we actually making more room for God to do something in my life. That's what prayer is.
Yeah.
And I think
that's what faith is. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, if I ask for this, I get this.
Yeah.
If I ask for this, I'll get, you know, bigger, I'll get more as well. So we kind of use that passage as saying, you see, there is a double anointing. No, there isn't.
Yeah.
There is as much as you want God in your life. And we see that in people we respect. Like the pastor of our church. So we, you know, like, I think one thing that I enjoy about him, because I look up to him as an example in my faith, and because what I see in his life is that someone who wants more of God every single day of his life.
Yeah.
Even though he's been walking with us for 50 years, he still wants more of God.
Yeah.
And I think he gets more of God.
Yeah.
So the respect that people look at to him with, all the blessings we get from the message is because he wants more of God.
Yeah.
And we could say, well, let's qualify and label that anointing and ask for it. And this is not how it works.
Right.
If you don't put your knees on the ground and ask for, you know, prayer and spend times, if you don't open the word and meditate day and night, then you don't get it. That's the point. So I think basically when I see his life and my life, for example, I see difference. And if I was be honest with you, I'm thinking maybe and surely he wants God more than I do in his life. And that's all. It has nothing to do with he's got a special level of anointing.
Right.
If he, you know, so that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Other than that, would be a false view of anointing. He got something special.
Yes.
No, he got what he was asking for.
Yeah.
And he asked for more.
You might hear someone playing music the way that David played music before Saul. You might hear someone say, oh, he's got the Davidic anointing. Mm-hmm. Or you might have someone who's like such a great friend as Ruth was to Naomi.
Yeah.
And Ruth says, no matter what, I'm going to stick with you. Oh, that person has the Ruth anointing of friendship. And it's like, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's not at all what the Bible's talking about. That's not how you take what the Bible says and use it in application for an actual definition of the word.
Yeah.
One other thing I was thinking based on what you were saying earlier is you were talking about the different titles and bishop and all this, and I'm thinking of Ephesians 4, and this is very, very simple. Like, a couple things it says in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, okay, And it talks about being given gifts from God. And then he goes into the types of gifts specifically given to the church through people. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. People will take that and they'll make it a hierarchy.
Yeah.
And that's not what it is.
No.
It's a gift for the people of God at a certain time. The apostles were a gift to the people of God at a certain time. The prophets were a gift to the people of God at a certain time. Pastors and teachers today are a gift given to the people of God for a certain time. And it goes in conjunction with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we read very clearly, very, very clearly, that there are many gifts given to the body. There are diversities of gifts in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. but it's the same spirit.
Yes.
There are differences of administrations,
yes,
but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. And then here's the main point of like any of the gifts that we receive, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everyone,
yes,
to profit with
yes
all.
Yes.
It's all with the same goal in mind, that yes we would be serving and glorifying God, and if you go back to Ephesians 4, perfecting the body of Christ, endeavoring to keep the unity,
yeah,
building up the body, what's the word, edifying itself in love. Like all of these are towards the promotion of Christ,
yeah,
the promotion of God, the promotion of his reign in all of our lives. It's
yeah
not so that someone would be thought of as higher or better
yes
or greater than anyone else.
Yes.
It's that God would be put on the throne where he
yeah
belongs. Colossians 1:16, the preeminence that he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be our focus
yeah
in the anointing.
That's, what you say is very important, because the idea of anointing, when it's man-centered, it takes away from the preeminence of Christ.
Yes.
Like if I find like I'm a prophet, everybody looks at me for answers. Nobody looks to God for answers.
Right.
If I have a special anointing of a special kind, then people are going to go to me. Just like I go to a healer, or I go to an oncologist if I have cancer, or dermatologist, I don't go to God anymore. And I'm not saying, I'm just giving you an example of
right
medicine. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor if you have to. But the point was, the point is, I look at the healer for something. I look at the prophet for something. I don't inquire of God anymore
no
because I have a prophet right there. If that you think this is anointing, you're wrong, completely
right
wrong, because
yeah
and I don't want to give this anybody in my life the room that God deserves
no
in, as who God is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Should we go to those questions and maybe some those comments?
Sure.
Or,
yeah, I was just reading one. We have Sheriff.com. He says
a thought just came to me.
Hold
can
on.
I share that thought? Hold on for
share
a second.
Okay, Sheriff, I'm coming back to you.
Yeah, he's coming
okay
back
I'm
to you.
Okay, coming back.
No, the idea of like you were saying, whatever we do have anointing. This one thing I've been discussing with some young people in the church that are young adults, they have went to college, you know, and they have a job, you know, in a way, and that's they think it's their that it's what God wants them to
yeah
do.
Yeah, they're
right
calling
nurses,
sure,
you know, whatever, and that's what we call a vocation versus a calling in one way. So would be one way to define it.
Okay,
right? A vocation would be a job, and the reason why I like the word vocation is because God calls you to be where you are,
mm-hmm,
and I think just as we're anointing for ministry, if I'm filled with the Spirit as being a nurse or whatever I am,
yes,
you know, I'm thinking nurse because a lot of young people are
that's
actually
true
becoming nurses,
yeah, yeah,
which I think it's awesome because it's a great place to be to minister.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in that sense that they are filled with it. And if they're called
100%.
By God to be there, you have as much anointing as in your vocation that you would have in your calling.
100%.
I just want to make sure.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you. That's a really great point. And any of our young listeners, you need to know and understand that to be 100% true. That's not, we're not just saying that. Watch out.
Oof.
Watch out for the water. Okay, Sheriff.com, quoting Romans 8:11 for us, if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead
somewhere
dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ,
I loved it,
Jesus from the dead, will also quicken your mortal bodies through his spirit
amen
who dwells in you. So there it is again, the power of the spirit quickening
mm-hmm
us, the power of the spirit teaching us, the power of the spirit manifesting itself in our lives and through our lives. That's a great, great verse, Romans 8:11. Thank you
mm-hmm
for that, Sheriff. I don't. Can you pronounce that name? Because that's French, and I don't.
Jean-Luc Maigret. I mean, we
yeah
were in Bible college together.
Oh,
he's
cool
from France.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've been. I think I met him in. Oh my God, I was 16 or 17, maybe.
Wow.
So I don't tell you how old I am, but I'm not.
I'm not going to ask, but
no.
I'm going to read it so you don't puff yourself up here. He says, "You both are awesome. What you share, Philippe, is much more than under unction. It's biblically precise and awesome." It's magnificent, Jean-Luc. It's
yeah
magnificent.
He's a friend of mine. He just wanted to be nice with me.
Yeah, awesome.
So what
okay
are those questions?
So what are those questions?
Yes.
We got a couple. Are there different types of specific anointing that believers can live under? So we can go back to what we said.
Mm-hmm.
There's one definition
yes
of the word. There are many applications.
Yes.
You could say there are many applications. One question I had that relates to this one, and because I was just talking about this, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, I want to get your take on this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you use the word anointing interchangeably with the word gift in the New Testament? Why or why not?
I would say no,
okay,
because the Bible uses different terms, and I think when the Bible is plainly and fully inspired, so when the Bible uses different words, it's a tick on,
yes,
so, okay, whoa, it gets my attention. Just like in Romans 2, 12,
mm-hmm,
2. Right? Don't be conformed, but be transformed.
Yes.
Paul could have said, don't be conformed to the world, be conformed to the by the arena of unity. He didn't.
Yes.
That's a big flash for, in hermeneutics. Why did he use two different words? So if there are different words, you know, sometimes words like in Proverbs, wisdom and understanding, sometimes they could be the same.
They are interchangeable.
They could
when
be.
You look at the Hebrew.
Yes.
Yeah.
They could be, but not so. So I would say, I would think they're different. And
yeah.
I think using a gift by God that you have, it's within your anointing.
Yes.
God anoints you to do something, it equips you with gifts. That's what I would say the
exactly.
difference is.
Yeah,
you
I would
agree.
I would. I would 100%. And I would say that when we look at this question, are there different types of specific anointing that believers can live under? I think what people are really wondering or they don't realize they're asking is, well, can we operate in different gifts? Yeah, we can operate in different gifts, but it's all the same Spirit. And we're all anointed by the same Spirit.
Yeah.
So the same Spirit anoints us all in different ways because of the gifts that he gives us, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I want to use words as precisely as possible to give credit to the Word of God in one way. But I do accept the fact that sometimes we use words differently. Like it's sort of, so to make that clear, I would say, can I say I am anointed for hospitality because I have a gift for hospitality? I could say yes, but is there a gift of anointing of hospitality?
No,
I would say no.
Absolutely.
That would
not
be the difference of wording this.
Yes.
So,
yes,
if I'm called and filled with the Spirit, I'm anointed to do whatever the Spirit tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I could say I'm anointed for this, but there's no this anointing, that anointing.
Right.
I would say this is outside of the biblical term.
Yeah.
The best way to use the term.
That's yeah. The, no, term. I agree with that 100%.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question. Do certain believers receive higher or lower levels of anointing? Do certain believers receive higher or lower levels of anointing?
I think we address that by saying, but I think no. And I think, do we get more of God if we ask for more? Yes. Can this be a different level of anointing? I don't believe so.
Right.
That would be the short answer.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit gives severally as he will. And again,
that's
talking about gifts.
Yes.
The Apostle John talks about this, I think, a couple times in the Gospel of John and also in his epistles.
Mm-hmm.
He says, whatsoever you ask, if you ask according to the will of God,
it
will be given unto you.
Yes.
And it's like, what more would God want in your life than to bless you with more and more spiritual gifts? But if you don't even ask, if you cut off the source of your gifts, if you cut off the Holy Spirit completely and you just live naturally, totally on your own, then you're not going to get any more. It's almost like the parable of the talents, where if you bury the talent, you don't make any more. But if you invest the talent, if you go out and use the talent that God has given you, and talent being a piece of money back then, but we're talking about it maybe in a broad application for the Holy Spirit in your life, then some people return 5 talents and 10 talents, and they had more. It also says, maybe in Mark chapter 4, those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Mm-hmm.
And to those who hear, more will be given. And to those who do not hear, even that which they have will be taken away. So I think all of this plays in that we can ask for more from God, but we can't ask for more anointing.
Yeah.
We can't ask the Holy Spirit to act differently or give us more than any other person because he will not do that. It's contrary to his character.
I think also behind the question in one way, I'm not saying that the motivation, but some people might think this way, we have higher or lower level of anointing because we go back to the idea of being man-centered, right? The point being is that if I'm thinking of levels, maybe because I'm evaluating how spectacular a gift is, and I want the same.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't want to be a prophet, you know, in that way?
Oh, boy.
And healing people just by swinging your jacket on people and have thousands of people come to stadiums.
Yeah.
Oh, this is anointed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whoever is at home, you know, maybe a parent at home just taking care of their kids. If it's God's calling for that, the anointing is there. And I think when we have this idea, like when we talk about levels of anointing, it's because we love the public high profile ministries versus the low. You know, Jesus doesn't care about that. He said, when you pray, go there, shut the door and be in your closet and make sure nobody sees you.
Yeah.
This is exactly what the Pharisees would do. Mm-hmm. They would go around and just claim their own goodness and pray in the corners and all kinds of things. So this being said, the Bible does say in Romans 12, there is a measure of faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Measure of faith.
Yeah, there's a measure of faith, meaning that so maybe God is calling Hudson Taylor to be a missionary that's going to require an amazing amount of courage that he doesn't have naturally. So God will fill him with the But it's not a bigger anointing. No. It's a lot more faith because he will be challenged by way more than I am challenged in my personal life, of course.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some missionaries have lost family members, children. I don't remember who lost three of his wives. He married three times. I lost the three of them. So the point is, it's, you know, so yes, there is this, but it does not mean that there's levels of anointing at all. You are or you're not.
Yeah. And one thing this stirred me up in as you were talking, as I was thinking about it, is the very end of the gifts chapter in 1 Corinthians 12.
Mm-hmm.
It says, covet earnestly the best gifts,
yes,
and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Yes.
And then you go into the chapter on love.
Yes.
And love being the principal thing. The first three verses, I love the first three verses mm-hmm. of 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, verses 4 through 8, everything that love is and love isn't, very awesome. But the first three verses kind of lay everything out for you.
Yes.
It says three different things that you can have in your life. You can have all the different gifts in the world. You can have all the different knowledge in the world. Okay, that's verse one, gifts. Verse two, all the different knowledge in the world. You can have all the different works going for you in the world,
yeah.
Verse three. But if any and all of those things are done without love, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
You have nothing. You don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, filling you, and working through
mm-hmm,
you,
mm-hmm.
because the very first gift of the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yes.
You know? So yeah. It's like, hey, here's the more excellent way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just to say, if you're listening, hey, we would love to hear from you. Type a question in the chat. Give us a call toll-free, 1-800-338-7060, or a local number here, 410-483-3700. We have about 10 minutes left of the program if you want to get in a comment or question. I think this is a really great topic
yes.
to think about and talk about and go to God about and
yes.
really like ask for him to teach you, and he will.
Yeah.
Okay, he absolutely will. So you want to go ahead with that last question?
I think we should. What are some incorrect philosophies or ideas, maybe we could say, or theologies surrounding the anointing? I think there's way more wrong ideas than there are right of ideas.
Yes.
I think there's, and again, because we're man-centered, we mm-hmm. try to have this idea of, okay, I'm, you know, I need to be like, if I would look at you and if I'm challenged by your gifts, you know, in a way, and I am, because your gifts are different, like in a way we could compare, you know, each other. Like, I was a director of NBCNS before you, you are the director of NBCNS. And I look back in a way, it's funny because, I mean, side note, I haven't been back in NBCNS since I left in June until you asked me to go do the chapel. It was so interesting because I had to introduce myself to people who didn't have any. So now I introduce myself as Francois's husband, who's on your staff. And
wow. That's
so anyway.
Wow.
So, but the point is, I could look at you and says, do I like what I see? Are you really doing? There's, in a way, we're challenging each other, right, in that sense. So
sure.
I like with the Bible College going under your leadership. There's many things you guys are doing with your staff that I thought, oh, I should have thought of this, you know, in many ways. And that's the good challenging part of each other. We say, wow, you know, we're, but then what's the consequences of seeing others in their ministry? Either I get jealous or I get excited because some God is doing something. And then
yeah.
the way we could say your gift set is different than mine,
yeah.
and it shows.
Yeah.
But then if I start comparing, I would go into the idea, oh, I need to work mm-hmm. out something so I can measure up mm-hmm. with you or measure higher because
yeah.
I'm insecure.
Yeah.
And that's how wrong ideas come from anointing.
And that happens to all of us.
Yes,
that's,
it does.
He's just giving like a very specific example because it's funny that like that we are a team together and I'm his predecessor. No, you're my predecessor.
Yes.
Before. You're my
yes.
predecessor.
Yes.
And he set the stage for me and he paved the way and he made my job way easier today than it ever
Thank
could
you.
Have been if it weren't for him. So I am so thankful for this
right.
man right next to me. And he has no idea all the things I see in him that I look up to and that I wish I had in my
no.
own life. I'm going to write them down for you right after
yes,
the show.
If
you guys want to comment no, things
please,
that you think of the
don't.
Magnificent Philippe, he will take it, we will frame it, and we will put it up right above his director's
chair. They're
going to
try restoring on not addressing the false views
oh,
of the anointing.
Oh, okay. All right. Here, one really solid false view of the anointing
yes.
comes from Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14.
What is it?
And this is the only time in the Hebrew that the word is used this way. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You are upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, in context, Ezekiel is prophesying the judgment of Tyrus and Tyre. Okay, but this is also a passage that biblical scholars believe is all about the devil and his life before
yeah.
the fall. And this Hebrew word is used only one time right here. For the word anointed, and it's Oh, did I write it? Yeah, the Mimshak. I probably butchered that in the Hebrew. The Mimshak mm-hmm. anointing. And it really means to cover everything, to anything that you touch, anything that you are over prospers, anything that you put your hand to. And I thought of like the old story, the Midas touch.
Yes.
The man who anything he touches is gold. Or when you're in grade school, they have a book similar to it called the Chocolate Touch. Anything that the kid touches turns to chocolate.
Yeah.
Anything that you touch prospers. Anything that you do has a gain therein. And that is a super false view of yes. the anointing. That's not what the anointing is. And specifically, this word is being used to talk about the devil before his fall.
Yeah.
So we don't want to attribute that to what we believe that the anointing is.
Yeah, and I think going back to that, it's almost like magic.
Yes.
Superstition. If you look at, I don't think you should, but if you look at some of the shows that get Tilly Evangelist.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, the guy is going to send you an handkerchief. It's special handkerchief that he prayed over.
Yeah.
And like when you sneeze,
he's going to touch you and you're going to fall 10 feet backwards.
Yeah.
And like maybe go off the stage completely, but yeah. you're going to be healed.
Because I have a special anointing.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that.
Right.
You know? And you know what's amazing is though, because like it was in French, I worked with a lot of different denominations as well. And it's how you build, you come up with something that is wrong and how you build for it. And the idea was, I remember talking to someone who was a particular denomination, no need to mention it,
mm-hmm.
but he was explaining to me, like, you know, when you pray over with the power of the Spirit, it knocks people down. So that was the first step. And the second step was, years later, oh, you know what, we know even more about this. When people fall backwards,
mm-hmm.
they are laymen. If they fall frontwards, they are leaders.
Wow.
What? Come on.
Oh,
the thing
man.
Is, that really is annoying because
yes.
instead of looking at gifts, maturity,
mm-hmm.
and actually all the, we have in the Bible a very specific set of things that Paul says you should have in a leader, in Timothy and Titus, very
yep.
clear.
Yep.
Instead of looking at that, we're going to look at you, how you fall.
Yes.
That's
going to dictate it for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is how far away we can be from a biblical understanding of anointing. This is why it's important for us to realize what the Bible says and what it doesn't say.
Yes.
I see a couple of interesting...
sure, go ahead.
I think here I see a... Wait, hold on. David Norwood said, like, I think a corporate anointing or an anointing on a Sunday school can impact our senses in a memorable way. I see what you're saying, David. I'm gonna go... For purpose of the conversation, provoking your thought, I'm going to say something differently. I think can you call that a corporate anointing, meaning we all get together, we're all anointing, therefore we are together. Yes, this is
sure.
Psalm 133,
mm-hmm.
how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
I agree with you on that. But I don't think we should evaluate the anointing with our senses.
Yes.
I don't think we should. And I see what you're saying. Sometimes we feel like we can say, I feel the presence of God. I understand that. But I think...
person next to you might not feel a thing.
Yeah, yeah, and the other thing is also, if I trust my senses and my emotions to decide whether God is in there, and I don't live by faith,
mm-hmm.
and that is one of the problems in some circles of Christians,
yep.
they're gonna feel it or not feel it,
yeah.
but whether I do feel it or not, I need to ask the question, is God present with me all the
yes.
time? And if he is, then I shouldn't have to worry about my senses so much. I'm not saying this is what you're saying, David. I'm just
no.
saying, I'm just to provoke the conversation. You know, like you said, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, is it not? The pouring out of the Holy Spirit, you would have to show me.
Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, and that's a specific mention in the Bible where
yeah.
the Holy Spirit first indwelt people.
Yeah.
Then you and I, we don't have to be in that, we're not in that historical moment anymore.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit didn't dwell in people before, and then at some point God decided this is time for people to be indwelt by
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit when they are born again.
Yeah.
So we don't need the pouring of the Spirit anymore because it's already there. Like it's theologically, it's a different moment. So I see what you're saying. And again, we're not trying to disagree. We're just trying to be there with you guys to provoke your thinking. So thank you very much.
Two comments from Tears of Mars. The anointing of love.
Yes.
And then I need a coffee mug that Pastor Philippe has prayed over so my coffee
oh my
will
God.
Be anointed. Amen.
I don't know which of the brothers is writing this, but
I don't know. It could be any of the Orsies. We love
yeah,
you guys.
We love
thank
you, guys.
You so much
yeah.
for listening and
yeah.
commenting.
And I don't have a mug, but if you call me, if you text me, and I will try to make. I will try to pray over the mug and see if your coffee if it tastes better.
Yeah,
could
we'll
be
see.
You need to change the brand.
You
of
might
your
just need some French
yeah.
vanilla, and then
yes.
you can think it's
no,
anointed as
don't
well.
No, don't put
uh-oh.
French vanilla in there.
All right.
No.
All right. Hey, Aretta says the anointing helps us in the service of the Lord Jesus to live
yes,
holy
does.
Lives. Absolutely, it does, because yes. The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit
yes.
in our lives.
Yeah.
Nathaniel from Trinidad, thank you for watching and following along. Good to hear from you.
Yes.
Thank you for commenting. And then just quickly,
yes.
some other false views or false ideas. I think we've covered them without like specifically saying what they are.
Yeah, we did, yes.
But there are not specific anointings for specific tasks. That is not biblically accurate. There is the anointing of the Holy Spirit
yes.
in your life, regardless of what action you're
yes.
taking.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the point you're making is that you have anointing, gift, and calling.
Yes.
Three different words that mm-hmm. mean three different things.
And we sometimes just
yes.
use them all and
yes.
bunch them together.
And it's okay. You haven't seen into physical death. You're fine. You know, I think the point of a show like this one, that's why we want to be precise. Because we want to provoke your thoughts. And then we want to give you ideas that you can go back to the Bible yourself and make your own convictions.
100%.
That's what we're
trying
to do.
Please do that.
Please.
That's all we want
that's
for you.
That's all we want.
If we stir your thoughts and you don't agree with us, thank you for that.
Like, yes.
Like, go to God with it. Go to the Bible. Be a
yes.
Berean and ask God what's really there and what's not.
Amen.
And we can be wrong. And we probably are in some regards.
You can be
Philippe
wrong.
Can't be wrong. I can be wrong. I'm learning every day. Are there degrees of anointing?
I'm very proud of my humility.
Yes. Are there degrees of anointings? No, that's a false view of the anointing. One
yes.
spirit overall,
yeah.
many different diversities, many different manifestations.
Yes.
Operations.
Ministries,
yes. operations,
gifts and
diversities,
yes.
gifts. Okay.
All right.
I think we covered it.
I think we did.
We're good.
Very proud of
ourselves. We weren't so sure when we got here. We had no idea.
God came through again,
Woo!
I think.
Hey, the anointing. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you hit subscribe and follow along so
yes.
you get notifications the next time we're around. Be sure to join us for our next show tomorrow as we continue to talk about the anointing in the Old Testament.
Amen.
See you guys.